Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tonight, Bard Summerscape opens their production of Chabrier's opera, The King in Spite of Himself. Loosely based on history, the opera tells the story of Henri de Valois, a 16th century noble named King of Poland, despite pining for his native France. Sung in French with English supertitles, the American Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Leon Botstein, music director, and at the helm of the opera is celebrated director Thaddeus Strasburger. World-class soprano Nathalie Poulain will perform the role of Alexina. She and Thaddeus join us now. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Before we talk about this project, we'll talk about you individually a little bit, your careers a bit, to give people a feel for where you've been and how you got here. Thaddeus, how does one, you, become a director of opera?
You talk louder than everybody else. No, really, becoming an opera director, it's really interesting because there's no sort of necessarily a formal training or a specific track or path that gets you there. Opera itself is a combination of visual elements of design and costume and clothes and sculpture and two-dimensional theatrical painting, and then the singers and the actors and the music and the orchestra and everything sort of coming together. So you just sort of think it's somehow a distillation of everything that's out there in life. So if you're a decent student of life and an observer outside, then I think you have a fighting chance of being able to have something to say once you get inside the walls of an opera house.
And when did you discover opera personally and know that you wanted to become so involved in it?
I think opera rather discovered me, actually. I went to see a performance kind of by chance through a school event. They take you to see a dress rehearsal, and I thought it was fantastic, and I wanted to be involved in that, and I went home that night and told my parents that I was going to be going to the opera.
And how did you decide to pursue a career as an opera singer?
Because I was singing louder than anybody else. It's a little bit like Thaddeus as well. It came to me. I studied. I mean, I was singing all my life in church choir until I was a teenager, and then suddenly I decided to. And I was also playing piano. Decided to enter university, not knowing what I was getting into, and realized that I was actually in a classical program. That's my little background. We had no classical music in my family, but I totally fell in love with opera, listening to Dido and Aeneas in a history class, history of music class, of course. And that's how it all started.
And how do you come to do this production at Bard Summerscape?
Well, this is my third production here at Summerscape. I first came on for the Meyerbeer a couple years ago, and then I came back for the Defenderklang. And it's just sort of conversations with Maestro Botstein moving forward. Here we are to do French comedy. I think it's interesting. He has such sort of divergent tastes in music for the festival, and it's always switching. And we sort of have a kindred spirit, I think, about how we approach these rare works. And it seemed like the right thing to do together.
And then how do you, once they've decided they're going to the show, how do you become part of the company?
I don't know everything about that, but I know that Thaddeus saw me last year in Wexford, and I was doing a little French comedy opera as well. And maybe someone had told him, I don't know, from Bard, that it might be an interesting choice to add me in, that maybe he can answer. And of course, I'm French, so that probably is one of the reasons. And I love a challenge, and I think Thaddeus knows that too.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we all work all over the world in sort of crossing paths with lots of different people, and you're constantly meeting new people. And I worked with Nathalie 4 years ago, I think, in production of The Magic Flute. We kind of met sort of happen chance because the conductor there had hired her and the company had hired me separately. And I so enjoyed working with her that she kind of went on the list of people that you want to work with again. So you're always sort of keeping that list going of people that you sort of naturally have an affinity with, and with comedy already having some sort of built up rapport over the years, and some sort of common background or sort of spark that you know was there in a previous production is already a really strong starting point for something new. So as soon as this opera came about and I started listening to it and working with my colleagues here at the festival in putting together a short list of who we wanted to do it, Nathalie was literally the top of the list. And it actually turned out to be a real bit of kismet that you were in Wexford, because then it meant that I got to showcase you. I could say, well, she's at the top of my list, and by the way, we're going to hear her already. So it was just kind of the stars line up, and here we are.
I wanted to ask about this opera being a comedy. I think that
people with only a passing knowledge of opera think of them all as grandiose tragedies. So is there a large world of operatic comedy, and is it different to direct than the ones that people are more familiar with where everybody dies?
And I think opera sort of captures, as I said before, the human experience. So as tragic as the human experience often is, I think that it's balanced out in some sort of larger cosmic fashion by some sort of comedic sense, and opera stage represents that. So I think the stereotype of opera being a certain way is something that we just have to ignore and keep moving forward through, because there's huge numbers of comic operas. I would say that as from a directing point of view, they're harder to do because the timing comes down to sort of milliseconds all of the time, and there's just a lot of milliseconds in any opera. And tragedy, you sort of work in these sort of larger arcs. I don't know what it's like as a singer, how you sort of approach these two roles, two kinds of roles differently.
Well, I think it is definitely different. Some singers, I think, are more prone or have maybe something special that makes them a better, I don't know, comedy singer or a better dramatic singer, let's say, for lack of a better word. I think for me, it is harder to do comedy because it's much easier to be in pain for 5 minutes then to have the timing, of course, like Thaddeus just say, it's all these little very organized, like choreographed, almost choreographed, I shouldn't say, there's always a space for spontaneity, but first, before we get there, there's a lot of choreography, a lot of timing issues that of course we do all with your colleagues. It depends who you respond to on stage, so it is a little bit more of a challenge. But it's so rewarding, so rewarding.
Tell us about the story of this show. What is the tale of this opera?
It's essentially one man's epic journey to not become king. Henry III of France is sort of put through this political machine where he's installed or elected to be the king of Poland, and it's absolutely the last place that he wants to be. And so as soon as he finds out that there's any hint of a conspiracy against him, that some of the Polish noblemen don't want him there, he sort of locks onto this idea and thinks that if there's going to be a conspiracy against him, then he might as well lead that conspiracy to make sure that it's successful. Unfortunately, through all the machinations of the plot, it becomes very difficult to conspire against yourself, mainly because the target of the conspiracy doesn't exist. So you can't never quite get to your intended target. And so in the end, he actually realizes that it's easier just to be king, because once you're king, you can decide that you want to wake up every day and do whatever you want or not do anything. Whereas if you're trying not to become king, it's actually quite a bit of work.
Tell us about the role you're singing.
Actually, I am Alexina Lovenska, and I married, of course, this Italian man, Fritelli, whom I don't love, because a long time ago I fell in love with that king, or non-king, that we're talking about. And in our show, should I let everything known? She is actually pregnant. It's not really said in the score, but we assumed that something happened, of course, way back when they met. So it's a very complex story. She's an opportunist, yes. She wants her husband, whom she doesn't really love, to become very friends with who the king will be. But they're also, they conspire. It's so complex, I can't tell you the whole story in 5 seconds. But in the end, our couple is not doing so well in the end of the opera. And she's still in love with the king. But I think there's a good position that happened. We haven't gotten to that part yet, so we can't. I can't talk about it too much.
What is special or particularly appealing about this opera, about the music or the story?
Well, it's interesting. We talk about it, and the plot seems rather slight, but it actually is a sort of a vehicle for a lot of pretty stinging ideas about the role of politics and public life and how that ends up affecting sort of people on the normal people every day on the ground, if you will. But then beyond that, the story also, even if it's complicated to follow the plot point, maybe when you're sort of just discussing it in an interview, the music is incredibly harmonically rich. And it sort of says, it lets you know right away that the themes being discussed in the opera are maybe superficially funny, but underneath that they're sort of driven by real human pathos. And there's little moments that sort of creep up on you that let you realize that it's not all fun and games, and we're sort of laughing or rearranging the furniture as the Titanic sinks, but that somehow there's something truly human about these relationships. I don't know if you've found that in the beginning, I didn't find the tunes necessarily to be immediately hummable when I first listened to the opera, but yet after listening to it again, they absolutely don't get out of your head because they're so incredibly well written.
That's true. The tunes, the music, I think the whole canvas of this whole opera is absolutely phenomenal and brings us to the true moments, like you were just saying, very human and very true in the midst of all this comedy, of course, that exactly what you said. And that's, yeah, that's true. I mean, the tunes, you kind they creep up on you after a little while. I hope it's because it's not known. I think it's more that than anything else. The tunes are hummable, I think. I disagree with you. Right. It's because we don't know it and we haven't heard it in a far, I don't know, on a radio station at one point, like we do many more operas. Because I often, it's never mine, of course, because I'm trying to memorize my own, and it's always my other, my colleagues' tunes that I have in my head all night long. Mm-hmm. But there are beautiful, not everywhere, but there are beautiful moments, really, really, quite sincere and gorgeous.
Why is this show not known? What happens in the life of an opera that makes it not produced more often?
If I can speak first, maybe some people, I'm not sure of my opinion at the moment, but upon first glancing at that score, I thought, it's the plot itself, the intricacy. But then if you think of Mozart's plots, they are even more complex than that. I think maybe way back then there was not a director like Thaddeus who could make a lot of sense and clear moments, because I think it's not an easy one to put on stage for so many reasons. Their focus is, I mean, it's so easy to get lost in the plots and to know when, who knows who the king is, because there's, you'll see if you see the show, it's really complex and funny, of course. It might be one of the reasons, because it's complex to stage.
When the chorus plays a really big role in it, and the Bard chorus is a really special chorus because they're put together specifically for being here, and everybody absolutely wants to be here and is working really hard and is consummate professional at a level that you don't have available to you everywhere in the world, to put on something that requires so much attention to detail, and also for the chorus to listen and to interact as a real character to what is going on, that takes hours upon hours of rehearsal to get 48 people to understand this millisecond for millisecond comedy that's going on. And I just think that a lot of theaters around the world simply don't have the resources to do that aspect of it well.
Bard Summerscape's production of Chabrier's The King in Spite of Himself, directed by Thaddeus Strasburger and featuring Nathalie Poulain, opens tonight in the Richard B. Fisher Center. For ticket and showtime information, visit fishercenter.bard.edu. fishercenter.bard.edu. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.